goodness in it. But barka has a more exaggerated meaning than the word khair. This is why Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, from the very, very first ayah of this beautiful surah, Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the message across to us that every source of barakah and goodness is He, Allah. He is the source of all barakah. He is the origin of all barakah. And revealing such a great book, obviously He, Allah, had to be blessed to reveal such a blessed book. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي blessed be He نزل الفرقان على عبده, who had sent down al-Furqan upon His servant, who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Furqan, because of this word the surah takes its name. And al-Furqan, it is a title of the Holy Quran. It is called al-Furqan, as mentioned in Surah al-Furqan. Nazal al-Furqan, He sent down the Quran, He sent down the Holy Quran, to who? Upon his abd, upon his slave, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Quran is called Furqan because of the fact that Furqan literally means a criteria. And the Holy Quran is that one book that distinguishes between right and wrong. It distinguishes between haq and batil, between truth and falsehood. And similar, that's the book itself, distinguishes, and it is a criterion between what is halal, what is haram, what is true and what is false. The people and the bearers of the Holy Quran, and those people who are not the bearers of the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran also makes a separation with the people who adhere and who do not adhere to it. So just as the Holy Quran, it is a criterion to separate, to distinguish haq from batil, truth from falsehood, it is also a criteria to distinguish the true people from the false people. Allah. The true people from the false people. So if the Holy Quran tells us that this is the truth, then there is absolutely no doubt about it, because it is the criteria and it distinguishes. If it tells us that that is falsehood, then there is absolutely no doubt about it, because it is a book which is the criteria. Those who then after that follow the Holy Quran, then they are people of haq, the truthful. And those who do not follow it and adhere to it, then they are Ahlul Batil, people of falsehood. The Quran makes that distinction. The Quran makes that distinction. Allah says He has revealed it ala abdihi, upon His servant, liyakuna lil'alameen nabiyya, so that He, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can be a warner to the whole world, lil'alameen. In this ayah, in the very first ayah, when it's speaking about the Risalah, the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah mentions and indicates towards the universality of His mission and His messengership and apostleship. But Allah is saying that the reason He has sent down the Holy Quran upon His beloved Rasul is so that His Rasul will become a warner to the whole world, alameen, lil alameen and nadira. Not only to Mecca, not only to Medina, not only to Arabia or the Arab speaking people, but lil alameen, for the whole world. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a universal prophet, and he was the only prophet from a group of 124,000 prophets. He is the only prophet that was universal. He was the only prophet that came to the whole mankind, which is sufficient to show that everyone who had followed any previous Nabi, by the law of Allah, had to leave off that prophet and now follow the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With his deen, from Allah, it abrogated every deen on the face of the earth. Every single thing. Every single thing becomes now null and void. And his deen and his law that Allah had given to him, it becomes the order of the day. It is for this reason that when Isa alayhi salam returns to the face of the earth, when Jesus comes back to the face of the earth, he will not implement the laws he got from Allah as a Nabi. No, because Allah has made Islam to be the final complete religion. So anyone coming after him must adhere to the teachings of Islam. So he, Isa alayhi salam, will judge and will decide according to the law of the Holy Quran. He will remain a Nabi. Allah will not seize that Nabuwwah from him. Once Allah made him a prophet, he will remain a prophet. But his job will not to be propagating what he received in the Injil. It will be to propagate the Holy Quran. Allah. It will be to propagate the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the Anbiya's accept each other. They accept each other. So there is no question whether he will accept the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That has been done already. But whose law he will implement? Remember, he got a book which is called Injil. He can of his own do that, but that is nothing. Because Islam is the final code. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the Prophet before him, Isa alayhi salam, told the people in no uncertain terms, even in the scriptures that were revealed to him and the scriptures and the things that are written about him, that he was only sent to a section of the people. He said, I have only been sent to the lost sheep of the children of Israel. He was an Israelite. He came to people. And when other people like the Gentiles came to him, he turned them away. For he was sent only to a people. Allah speaks about Musa alayhi salam. And he says in the Holy Quran that we have sent you لِتُخْرِجَ قَوْمًا so that you may take out your people. This is why although Musa alayhi salam was in Madian, he was not sent to the people in Madian. Shu'aib alayhi salam was sent to the people in Madian. So Allah ordered him to leave Madian. That is not your call. وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَا أَخَاهُ شُعَيْبًا and towards Madian we send their brother Shu'aib alayhi salam. That is their prophet. Oh Musa, this is not your field. Madian is not your field. Your place is the Israelites. So you will have to go back to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let your people come out. That is his job. And once the people came out from the clutches of Pharaoh, the mission of Musa alayhi salam ended. As soon as he took them out from Egypt and he went and he entered the promised land, which was Syria, then his mission came to a termination. That was the end of his apostleship. And after him, Yahya alayhi salam came. But Yahya alayhi salam did not get the time to implement his mission, so he was a forerunner of Isa alayhi salam. To tell the people that Isa alayhi salam is coming, he was beheaded. His father Zakaria alayhi salam was beheaded. And when Isa alayhi salam came before the prophet, he said, listen, I am only sent for this people here, not the people. Only for this community, not for everyone. The only Nabi who came to the whole world, to the places Musa came to Egypt. Egypt is a Muslim country, Islam entered. He came to the Prophet's mission, also was the Philistine. Who was the prophet that was born in Philistine? Ibrahim alayhi salam. His home was the Palestinians. The nation of him, Ibrahim alayhi salam, was Palestine. That is where he was born. That is where he was born originally in Iraq, but commanded by Allah to live there in Palestine. And his nephew, where was his nephew? Lut alayhi salam was sent to Sodom and Gomorrah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam will not leave Palestine to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. He had someone fixed there. When his son Ismail alayhi salam was born, Ismail alayhi salam remained in Hijaz. And while the people were coming there, and now there is a new civilization of people, he preached to the people there. His other son Ishaq alayhi salam was with him and lived with him in Philistine. So after he passed away, Ishaq alayhi salam continued, and he never thought about going to Hijaz, the people were the job of Ismail alayhi salam. So whether it is Nazar, whether it is Babylon, whether it is Spain, every place had its own Nabi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam message was that every country, for every tribe, for every people of the face of the world. So therefore, immediately after his demise, Rome, which was in Christianity, accepted Islam. China, Turkey, Spain, all these places, Philistine, all these different places, nations to whom other prophets would have come, all of them entered into Islam. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam message was for every Makkah. Not only for the Makkahs, not only for the Madani people. So Allah makes it clear that this Nabi, he is a warner lil alameen to all the people, to all the worlds, to all the people of the world. Even he's a Nabi also to the jinnats. The command to the jinnats is that they must listen to the Prophet and accept Islam. And many of them accepted Islam from his hands. And he used to go out and give da'wah and propagation. There is a night which is called Laylatul Ta'ris. Laylatul Ta'ris, the night of invitation to the jinnats. It occurred 7 times in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When at different times he will have people like Abu Bakr, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, and with him on a journey. And it is mentioned by Abdullah bin Mas'ud that on one occasion while he was in what was with him, he drew a circle and he asked Abdullah bin Mas'ud to sit in it, and he told him, whatever happens, do not come out from the circle. And he went out. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud said he heard voices and he could not see anything. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said he was given invitation to the jinnats of Islam. So he was a Nabi that was for every being. For every being. So much so that besides those people who are mukallaf of the deen of Allah, they are addresses of the deen of Allah, and they are commanded to obey Allah, the other creation also acknowledged and knew the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The animals, the trees, the stones of Allah. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala said, sometimes we'll be passing, we will just be hearing Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. We'll be looking right and left, we can't see anything. We'll say, O Prophet of Allah, where are these voices coming? He said, they are the trees also give salam. Authentic hadith. So beyond the creation, who are obligated, and it is a law of Allah for them to follow Allah, even the other creation recognized the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can say everything in the world recognized the nabuwat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except those who choose to deny him and refuse. So the Quran says, the barakah alladhi nazzal al-furqan, glory be to that one. Blessed be he who has sent down the Holy Quran. Who is that one we are speaking about? Who is that one who has sent down the Holy Quran? الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That one to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and earth. That is the one we are speaking about. We're not speaking about no Arab God or no Arabian God. No. We are speaking about that one, that the whole world belongs to him and the entire heaven belongs to him also. We are speaking about a tribal God like Lat and Uzza and Manat. And the God of the sun and the God of the moon. No. The one who sent down the Holy Quran is the mightiest, is the greatest, is the owner of the heavens and the earth. So the second ayat now describes who is that one. So when we understand the one who sent it, we'll understand the value of it.
الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض. It is He, له ملك السماوات والأرض. الذي such a ذات and a being that to Him belongs the dominion of the heavens and earth. Unless that the people may have the wrong perception and the wrong understanding about that one, Allah clears up that path immediately and says, وَلَمْ يَتَّقِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. He is that one who has never taken a son. So the one you said that the people are saying had a son and a daughter, maybe you are speaking about a different one. Not the one we know as Allah. Because our Allah has never taken a son for Himself. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. And He is that one that He has no associate and partners in His authority and kingdom. To say that He needs help, so He has one who He has appointed for the sun, and the other one He has appointed for the moon, and the other one He has appointed for the water and for the earth. No. The one you are speaking may be different. The one we are speaking about, He shares no power with anyone. He is Wahid, bimilkiyatihi. He is one and alone in His possession, and fi mulkihi, in His dominion and kingdomship. And then, Allah, the qualities. وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. He has created every single thing. He has created every single thing. فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. And He has ordered them in due proportion. Two great qualities of Allah. One is that Allah is Al-Khaliq. Allah is the creator of everything. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. تَخْلِيقَ التَّقْدِيرُ. Taqdeer means that after something is created, whatever purpose this thing is created for, Allah has placed the wisdom in that thing to exist. It is a balance that Allah has created on the face of both things. That whatever Allah has created for a certain purpose, then He has placed the specialities in that thing to fulfill the purpose. Allah has created the earth. The things He needs for us to eat, He has created it on the face of the earth, that these things will be produced in large quantities. Allah has created things in the skies, and the qualities of those things are different. Allah has created animals, and has put different qualities in those animals. Allah has created the ocean, and He has created the land or the earth of the ocean to be such that the water will not penetrate it. Allah has created the earth, some portion of the earth, where Allah knows that people and animals will come and drink from. He causes it to store the water. He has created another portion of the earth, where He knows people will use it as their field. It does not gather the water, but the water continues to seep through, and it continues like that. He has created another part of the land that He knows that people will build their houses and live. He has created it in such a manner that it is not like a lake. It is not soft like the mud and the dirt close to a river. It is not sandy like the beach. But it is made of a special nature that it can hold the houses, it can hold the building, it can hold the structure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the mountain. And the purpose of the creation of the mountain is to hold up the face of the earth from not shaking. So what in the place of the mountain is rock. But if you put the rock in other places, will be our houses. No, that is all. قَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. That for everything He has created, He has created it with a wisdom to fulfill the purpose of its creation. So here, that is what is needed in the mountain. You won't find it here. That is the soil needed for the garden and the field. You won't find it other places. He has created the jungles, and He has placed it and inspired the animals to make the jungles their home and their abode.
what will happen if the animals did not know that and they start to come to our houses when we are sleeping in the night? And then the houses and you see snakes and all reptiles running all over the place. What can prevent them? They can know. So we see them moving sometimes during the period of the night, we see them. But they know that this is not their place, so they will not reside. They know that their houses are, it's not their abode, they will not reside. They know their abode, they know where they must find themselves. Allah has inspired them. The Holy Quran says, Allah has inspired them what they should eat and where they should live. So that is called taqdeer, or the taqdeer, the proportion Allah has created everything to exist. The sun and the moon Allah has created so that we can look at it. We can look at it and we can measure our time. We get the solar energy from the sun. But if it exists for itself, what stops it from falling on the face of the earth? Nothing. Illa Rahman, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is made to exist there so that we can see it. It is not made to exist here, not here. So each and everything Allah has created, that is in the word Khalaqa, kulla shay'in, everything. But that is not the end of Allah's magnificent creation. He has created it with wisdom. Look at the human body. Look at the human body. We need both hands. Allah has given us both hands. In case one, something has happened to one, we use the other one. He has given us both legs. Something has happened to one, we can use the other one. He has given us both eyes. Something is wrong with one, we can see with the other one. But we do not need two mouths. He has given us one. So we can control our speech also. So the necessities in our body, with wisdom Allah has created. Allah has created the eyes in front. He could have created one in the back and one in front. How would it look? To us it would look ugly because we are accustomed to seeing human beings with two in front. But if from the initial stage of Allah created like that, then we would have grown accustomed to seeing human beings like that. Like that. We would have grown accustomed to seeing. So with hikmat and with wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created every single thing. And that is the meaning of فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ. Allah Akbar. Allah is He in whose hands is the dominion of the heavens and the earth. Allah has created every single thing, and His creation does not stop. Each and every second and minute of the day, Allah continues to create us. We are created, but every minute or every day a new year comes out in the face. Allah, who creates that? Allah. Every minute, new blood cells are created. Who creates the blood cells? Every day our fingernails grow. Who creates that and extends it? Allah. We get a cut, it's renewed and a new skin is created. Who creates that? Allah. We lose something from our body energy, it is restored. Who creates that? Allah. So Allah's creation is not something that He created. You might be like us, He's taking a rest. Every minute of the day, every second of the day, whether a child is born or a child is not born, every single minute Allah creates something in our human bodies. He is the creator of every single thing. Yes. All those beautiful qualities are Allah. He is so great. Allah says, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً. Yet, these unbelievers take others besides Allah as their gods. How unjust. What great zone is that? That Allah has created them, but worship goes to another one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them sustenance, but time to be thankful, they thank another one. They are sick, they ask their Lord for help, He restores their health, but time for shukrana, they bow before pity. How ungrateful, how unjust is it
to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives the worship another one. He says, and yet mankind, yet these are believers, will take others besides Allah. And what do they take besides Allah as their gods? Such things, لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا, that they do not have the ability to create anything whatsoever. Undeserving gods. وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ. One is that they cannot create anything, and the other thing, they themselves are created by Allah. They themselves are created by Allah. The other thing, وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا. They have no control to their own selves of giving any harm, or no control of bringing any benefit. وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ مَوْتًا وَلَا حَيَاةً وَلَا نُشُورًا. And they possess no control of death, of life and resurrection. So one, they cannot create anything they are creating. Yet people worship them. Secondly, they can give no benefit and harm to anyone. So if you see stone standing before people, they can pray from the day they are born to the day they die, even after being given a period of 1,000 years. This stone, this idol, this name, this picture, this tree, this mountain, it cannot give them any benefit whatsoever. Nothing. It is their mind that they think like that. Their mind. It cannot give them any harm. So to think that the reason the child died is because they did not serve that God and give him full time is useless. Because that thing they worship cannot give them any harm, cannot bring about any harm. Further than that, they cannot cause the death of anyone, nor can they give life to anyone. They are useless. They are purposeless. They are weak. They are feeble. And their weakness can be seen from the beautiful incident during the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Ibrahim alayhi salam took food and water in front of them and said, eat, drink, you can eat, you can drink. What type of gods you are? And he broke all of them. He says, you cannot, flies come and sit on you and you can't even stop yourself from the fly coming and sitting on you. So Allah says, these things they worship, they cannot give life, they cannot give death, whatever sure. And even if someone has passed away, they cannot revive that person for sure. So why? Why are these things being worshipped? Why these unbelievers are so? The pagans during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the message is, why are you people so ignorant? You know, these things, the idols cannot create, you are worshipping them. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا إِبْنُ اِفْتَرَىٰ وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ. So the message is given to them. Daily, new revelations are coming. Daily, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling them about such and such. Why do you worship this? So they say, what is this? This man is telling us. What is this? Why is this man condemning our gods, our Allah, and Uzza and Manat? Why he's telling us about his idols in the Kaaba? What is wrong with him? They do not believe that this is the truth. They do not believe it is a revelation from Allah. So they started to say, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And the unbelievers say, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا إِفْكٌ افْتَرَىٰ. This is nothing but a lie that is forged, that he has forged. These things that he's telling us about, you only have one God and you have, he's Allah, and this things we should worship. You see, he is telling us a lie, and the lie, he has forged it. وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ. And other people have helped him upon it. Who are the other people? The Mufassirin have mentioned, they are referring to the Ahlul Kitab who have accepted Islam. So they say, well, they are helping him make up things also. So he has forged it, and other people are helping him. Allah says, your statement, what is their statement about?
وَقَدْ جَاءُوا ظُلْمًا وَزُورًا. They are saying that he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has forged the line, which is the Holy Quran. No, it's not like that. It is they who have forged and brought about a great wrongdoing and also they are telling the lie. They are speaking false. They are doing wrong things. وَقَالُوا and the unbelievers say, أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. What he's telling us, tales of the ancient people. So when they hear about Musa and Isa and Noah, they say, oh, tales of the ancient.
So the Sahaba, they were right. So they have seen the Prophet, so they say, well, listen, he has forged it, he got some tales from the past, he's dictating it to them, and he has caused it to be written. فَدِيَةٌ لَا عَلَيْهِ. So it is dictated upon him, and it is recited upon him, بُقْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا, morning and evening. What used to happen? When revelation came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will recite it, they will write it, and then recite it back to him. So he will ensure that it is the correct thing. So we are seeing these things happening every day, morning and evening. They say, oh, what has happened really is that he folds something, and he is making up some tales of the past, telling them what to do, they will write it, so they will come with us, can remember it. They have this thing of dictating to each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, it's not that. For Muhammad ta'ala, قُلْ أَنزَلَهُ الَّذِي عَلَهُ السِّرَّ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. قُلْ أَنزَلَهُ. It is not أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. It is not tales of the ancient. It is not any forged thing and fabricated lie or falsehood. No. What it is really is that أَنزَلَهُ الَّذِي عَلَهُ السِّرَّ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He who knows the secrets of the heavens and the earth, he has revealed it. He has revealed it. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And he, Allah, is certainly forgiven and most merciful. In other words, whatever was being revealed in the Holy Quran, it is about things that are happening daily in their lives. Daily in their lives. Whatever they said, and they oppose the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will reveal an ayat telling them to be careful of what you are saying, lest Allah may send an azab. You won't behold azab will come. So in other words, how can it be tales of the ancients when everyday things are mentioned in the Holy Quran and things which are yet to happen in future about you, non-believers, it is mentioned that this will happen to you. So therefore, one thing that is known is that it is not tales of the ancient. And if it is really happening, it is not a fabricated lie. So only one thing remains there, that the one who knows the secrets of the heavens and the earth, knows all about you, knows what will happen to you, knows how you think, knows what you will do, knows your scheme, your plots and your strategies, it can only come from him, because he is opening out your plots and your schemes. This is what it means. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. He, Allah, is غَفُور. He is most forgiven and He is most merciful in that. Although they are lying against the Quran, although they are fabricating lies against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until that time Allah has not sent any azab to them. That is because of Allah's rahmat and Allah's mercy. They are doing wrong. They are denying the Holy Book of Allah. Allah has not yet sent any azab to them. If He wishes, He can send. But He has not sent it because Allah is merciful and He has given them a deal and Allah has given them a time. وَقَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامَ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. So one objection, it was about the book, the Holy Quran. That what is this book you are reciting? From their own minds, they thought that, well, it's a forgery and it is a fabrication. Allah replied to that. Allah refuted that. Now, how can it be when Allah is opening out all your secrets in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How can it be a Zatul Awwaleen? The other objection they had is that they used to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam eating. They used to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walking. They used to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to the market to purchase things, to do chores around the house. He was a shepherd, he used to raise the sheep. So they said, listen, how can this man be a prophet when he eats food? How can this man be a prophet when he's walking like all the other people in the streets and in the bazaars and in the city places, and he's buying and he's carrying out the gold and how can he be a prophet? So they made this objection. According to the Sabab al-Nuzul and the cause of revelation, it is stated also that once this was revealed at the same time, the objection was the same, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was struck with hunger and starvation like the other people in Makkah at that time, and he was in search of food, so he was going out to the marketplaces to look for stuff to purchase for his family. And when they saw that, they said, he is just like me. They are saying, he's just like us. We are working hard to get food, he's doing the same thing. We have to eat to live, the same thing. How can he be a prophet? He cannot be a prophet. So Allah mentioned that in the Holy Quran, and Allah refused the objection. وَقَالُنَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامَ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. And they say that, believers, what is with this Rasul? What is with this Nabi and this messenger? He claims he's a messenger. But يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامَ, he eats the food. وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ, and he walks in the bazaars and the city place. لولا أنزل إليه ملك فيكون معه نذيرا. Why has not sent down to him an angel so the angel will be with him as a warner? So he says, listen, he has to work so hard. Why, if he is so true, why was not an angel sent down with him, and the angel will also be a warner, so he would have to do so much work? He will do some, the angel will do some. But objection. أَوْلُقَى إِلَيْهِكَ الزُّنَى وَتَكُونُ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ. Or, bestowed upon him should be a treasure. If he is so good, he's so righteous, and he's a prophet, why didn't his God send a treasure from heaven for him? So he will take money every time he wants money and use it. Huh? أَوْ تَكُونُ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ يَأْكُلُ مِنْهَا. Or he should have a big garden that whenever he wishes, he doesn't have to search and buy, he will go in his own garden and eat it to his fill. So all these objections, what is wrong with this person? This man says he's a Nabi, he's eating like us, and he's walking the city, and he's buying just like us. He needs clothing and all these things also, he's not a Nabi. Okay, if he needs food, and he needs money, and he needs to eat, then these things should have happened. An angel should help him in his work one. Or his God should have sent him a treasure. You know, you have a treasure chest. Every time you want money, you push your hand and you take out and you spend. So he would have to work for money, etc. Or at least if those things were not there, at least his Lord should have made a beautiful garden for him. And he will go and eat to his fill. No worries about provisions. وَقَالَ الظَّالِمُونَ إِن تَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا رَجُلًا مَسْحُورًا. Then these unjust people and wrongdoers say that although he is just like us and he is not a Nabi, all these other people, that they are following him. He eats like us, he drinks like us, he works like us, he has hardships like us, he has sufferings like us, but people still follow him. Why they are following him? They made an open statement. Well, he must be a man that someone has worked some bad on him. He's bewitched. This is why they are following him. وَقَالَ الظَّالِمُونَ, and the wrongdoers say, إِن تَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا رَجُلًا مَسْحُورًا.
they are following no one except a bewitched man. Someone who has sorcery, black magic and witchcraft on him. So this is why they are following him. Allah gives an immediate response to that accusation in a concise, a very concise and brief answer. انظر كيف ضربوا لك الأمثال. O Prophet, look how they make comparisons with you. Look what they say about you, O Prophet. Look what they are saying about you. Why are these people saying such? Why? Because they are misguided. They are misguided. What to speak about misguided people? What to speak about people who have lost guidance? They do not have the ability to come back on the right path. They have lost. They are lost people. They are misguided. So they are misguided. Don't think about what they have said. They are already misguided. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a very good reply to what they are saying. They are speaking about the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He should be given a beautiful gun or some treasure. Should we go through all these things? Allah says, glory be to that one. Blessed be that one. That if he had so wished, he could have made for you something better than that. What could he have made for you in this world? Jannat, gardens, not only one garden. Gardens. Tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. Beneath which rivers flow. Wa yaj'al laka qusura. And he could have made palaces for you. So, what they are speaking about, if your Lord could have done this and he could have done that. What a question! Blessed be Allah, that if He, Allah, had so wished, He could have made many gardens for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the face of the earth, and also He could have made many palaces for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, empires, wealthy places. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want that. Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to always make dua to Allah. Allahumma ahyini miskina wa amitni miskina. Oh Allah, let me live as a poor man and die as a poor man. Because on the day of judgment, the poor will enter Jannah 500 years before the rich people. Not that Allah didn't accept their ibadah, Allah would accept it. But the reason they have to remain so much years behind, they have to render an account for the wealth Allah has given to them. They have to give, you know, like how the auditors come. When you hear that the bad people are the auditors, they are coming, people, different people, yes, yeah. When you have angels there, every single cent and penny, where it came from, where it was spent, it will take a long time. And if one person is taking 500 years, then multiply that by 10, and multiply that by 1,000 and a million, the amount of years people will have to be there waiting in line until their name is called and they will stand before Allah. In Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Dawud and Tirmizi, a hadith is mentioned. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the angels came, angels from heaven, and they asked the Prophet, "O Prophet, if you wish, we can make the valley of Batha filled with gold for you. We can turn the mountain of Batha also, the valley of Batha, into gold for you. O Prophet of Allah, we can make so much palaces for you, so that you will not have to worry about ma'ash, about living, and about maintaining your family members, etc., etc." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "No, I do not wish. I do not want that. That is not what I want." And when the angel, it is stated in one riwayah about the Sabah al-Nuzul,
that Rizwan, the angel of Jannah, he came down and he has shown the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah what Allah has given to him instead of this. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَضِيْتُ بِفَالِكَ عَبْدِيْتُنَا. And he said, O Allah, whatever you have wished to give me, you have wished to give me here on the face of the earth. Instead of that, give me the allowance to intercede for my Muhammad al-Yawjah, as against all its duties and all the luxury and comfort. Allah says in the Holy Quran, it is not difficult. Sulaiman alayhi salam was a king who ruled the entire world at one time, the earth. All the countries of the then existing world. But he was a Nabi. Yusuf was the wazir, the governor of Egypt, Yusuf alayhi salam. Dawood alayhi salam was a king. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the Prophet. He had made it up to the Prophet. Oh my Nabi, you choose what you want. The Prophet said it. Allahumma ahyini miskina wa ahyini amitni miskina wa Allah. Let me live in this world poor. And when death comes, let me leave the world poor also. وَحْشُرْنِي مَعَ الْمَسَاكِينَ. And on the day of judgment, gather me with the poor and the needy people also on the day of judgment. So, when he was given all these things, he said to the angels, I wish to be a grateful servant and I wish to be a patient servant to Allah. So this why sometimes he will make dua, Allahumma ja'alni suburan wa ja'alni shukura. Oh Allah, make me patient and forbearing and make me also grateful. Oh Allah, in one hadith it is mentioned, in Ahmad, it is mentioned where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua. He said, Oh Allah, give me to eat one day so that I may be thankful to you, and the next day do not give me so I may beg from you and be patient. So the objection they are having with the Rasul, he eats, he drinks. Why does he have a big palace? Allah says if Allah wishes, Allah can give him everything. It is not a criteria to be a prophet that you do not have to work hard in this life. So wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if blessed be he, if Allah wishes, he could have made for you something better than that even in this world. Gardens beneath which rivers flow, and he could have made for you palaces. Bal kadhabu bis-sa'a. Now they are making these objections. A person can say, if someone is making such an objection, the reason for the objection could be that maybe he's really worried about you. Oh, poor thing has to work so hard. Okay, so someone in the locality, someone in the Jamaat, someone, you know, he's not having good times. So people can say, boy, the man is seeing some hard times. It can be, you know, because the person is rough, is really worried about him. He's meeting difficult times to help him. Or it can be he's seeing hard times. Yani, it means that let him have some pressure. Let him go through that. So it could be also as speaking against a person, and it's a sarcastic remark in a manner. So the statements they are using, that this Rasul had to walk all over the city, it could be that they are worried about him, that as a Rasul, why doesn't the other Muslim make his khidmat and service, and they should go in the city and get what he wants and let him do the work of Allah. It could be that they are worried about him. Allah says, don't misconstrue their statement. They are not worried about you. The real reason they are making these allegations and objections is this. Because they deny the hour of judgment. And when they deny the hour of judgment, they deny the revelation which comes to you. And when they deny the Holy Quran, they deny you as a Nabi. They do not believe in you as a Nabi. This is why they are making the objection. But they deny the Sa'at. the hour of judgment. And because of their denial, وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِمَنْ كَذَّبَ بِالصَّاعَةِ سَعِيرًا. We have prepared for those people who deny the hour of judgment, we have prepared a blazing fire. So let them enjoy and make the objections there. Here, the blazing fire is awaiting the arrival here. As soon as they land, a beautiful reception, the blazing fire of Jahannam, Allah says, we have prepared for that for them.
إذ رأتهم من مكان بعيد سمعوا لها تغيظا وزفيرا.
Allah describes what will happen there, that when they arrive there, and إذا رأتهم من مكان بعيد, when the fire of Jahannam sees them from a far place, then the fire of Jahannam will grow in anger, the fire will become furious, and the fire will start to rage with anger as soon as the fire sees them. Hold on. Look at that. The Jahannam becomes angry with them because of their belief and what they used to do on the face of the earth. Because of what they used to do on the face of the earth, the fire of Jahannam, as soon as it sees them, it will go furious. It will become full with rage. So the Holy Quran says, when the fire of Jahannam sees them from a far place, سَمِعُوا لَهَا, they, the believers, will hear the fire, وَغَيُّزًا, raging with fury, وَزَفِيرًا, and full with rage.
وَإِذَا أُلْقُوا مِنْهَا مَكَانًا ضَيِّقًا مُقَرَّنِينَ,
and when they are thrown in the fire of hell, in a constricted and straightened and tight place, مُقَرَّنِينَ, tied in chains, their hands and feet together, دَعَوْ هُنَالِكَ ثُبُورًا, they will cry and they will ask and they will call. At that time they will wish for death and they will scream for death and they will call death. They will be tied with chains, their hands and their feet will be bound together in chains. And إِذَا أُلْقُوا, and they will be thrown in the fire of hell. And when they are thrown in the fire of hell, they will scream out, we want death, we want to die. Just like in this world, when a man goes through a tough time, he says, I wish I could have died. I wish death would come upon me. So when they are crying out for death, Allah will say to them, لَا تَدُعُ الْيَوْمَ ثُبُورًا وَاحِدًا, do not call out and do not cry out today for one death, وَدُعُ ثُبُورًا كَثِيرًا, but cry out for many deaths, because the problems you are in will be so many that for each you want a different death. So you have to cry for many deaths today. Allah, not only one, you have to cry for more. Go ahead. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed before them two things. How beautiful is that? The style of the Holy Quran. They were looking at their good living and complaining against the little trials of the Prophet ﷺ. And they were happy with their good living. Oh, yes, the works they had, we. No, we have it all. And on the other hand, Allah showed them the other pretend. The other pretend. The believers will go through some tough times, but Jahannam. The believers will go through good times here, but Jahannam. So they have seen two. One is that the believers are going through tough time, and the other thing is that they have seen Jahannam and what is waiting for them. Now Allah says to the Prophet, "Qul, say to them, أَذَٰلِكَ خَيْرٌ أَمْ جَنَّةُ الْخُلْدِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ, is this azab in Jahannam better, or the everlasting Jannah which the believers have been promised in the hereafter, which is better? You see, here is Jahannam. Here is how you will be screaming and crying, and there is Jannah also. Jannah will call the everlasting Jannah. You tell me, which is better? Jannah lahum jazaa'an wa masira. Jannah will hold the everlasting Jannah. No death, luxury, pleasure. It is stated in hadith, if a man lives his entire life his entire life in hardships and in sufferings, and he's made to taste the pleasures of Jannah for 1 second, that 1 second will make him forget every single thing he went through, and he'll say, I didn't go through anything. And if a man lived his entire life in luxury and comfort, that he never ever had a headache, he had no problems, 1 second in Jahannam will make him forget every single thing. So the believers are given some glad tidings in these words. That in this world, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hardships will come. Allah will put our faith to many different tests and trials. Things may not go good every day. We may have some down days also. But this is not all. If you be steadfast, then in being steadfast and being obedient to Allah, Allah will make you pious and righteous, and Allah has promised the pious and righteous people Jannah to hold everlasting forever. كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَزَاءً وَمَسِيرًا. Allah says, that will be their reward and that will be their destination. In this world, the believers could not get everything they want. They couldn't get everything they want. Maybe they couldn't afford it. Maybe it just did not work out. However, Allah says in Jannah, لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ خَالِدِينَ. In that Jannah, for them will be in Jannah whatever they desire and whatever they wish, they will get. They will only, Allah says, not what you ask for. Not what you ask for. Before you can ask, it's only a wish in the heart and you will get it, Allah. And you will get it forever and ever. A man will wish anything whatsoever. There will be treasures in Jannah. So much treasures, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. That the eyes have never ever seen such pleasures. The ears have never ever heard such about such pleasures. And the thought of such pleasures have never entered the heart of man. Allah says, whatever he wishes, whatever the people in Jannah wish, they will get it. كَانَ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ وَعَدًا مَسْئُولًا. That is a promise that Allah has made. And it is a promise that should be prayed for, Allah says in the Holy Quran. It is so good, Allah says, it is something that people should pray for and they should ask. So the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma inna nasaluka al-jannata. O Allah, we ask you for jannat, wa na'udhu bika minan nar, and we seek refuge in you from jahannam. Dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيَوْمَ يَحْشُرُهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَقُولُ وَأَنْتُمْ أَضْلَلْتُمْ عِبَادِي هَؤُلَاءِ أَمْ هُمْ ضَلُّوا السَّبِيلَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the unbelievers now. Again, going back to the same topic, that here they are. They are living on the face of the earth and they are worshipping different things. They may be worshipping names, they might be worshipping people, like how the Jews and the Christians have started to worship people who are called the sons of Allah, Uzair ibn Salat, Isa alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam, or people who claim to be God on the face of the earth, alive, say worship me na'uzubillah, or animals, or stones, all these things that people used to worship on the face of the earth, Allah will gather all of them. Those things that were worshipped and those who used to worship them. And this is what this ayah says. وَيَوْمَ يَحْشُرُهُمْ. And the day Allah will gather them. وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. And whatever they used to worship besides Allah. فَيَقُولُ. Then Allah will put a question to the worship kings and worship priests. Allah will put the worship ones, the ma'bud, in a line. Whether they are people, whether they are kings, or they are figures, or idols, or images, or stones, or carved objects, And Allah will say to them, أَأَنْتُمْ أَضْلَلْتُمْ عِبَادِي. Allah will say, did you misguide my servants? Allah will say, did you misguide my servants? O Isa, you misguided my servants and told them to worship you and your mother. O Zayd, did you tell the people you were my son? O son, did you tell those people to worship you? O moon, did you tell people to worship you? O water, did you tell people to worship you? Everything people worship, Allah will speak to them. أَأَنْتُمْ أَضْلَلْتُمْ عِبَادِي. Did you misguide my servants? Allah Akbar. Look how Allah loved his servants. Although they are unbelievers, he said, they are my servants because he has created. Who caused them to be misguided? Allah is taking these things to task. Tell me, and whom ضَلُّوا السَّبِيلِ, or they were misguided, they misguided and led themselves astray. What really happened? What really happened on the face of the earth? You would have caused or they for themselves went away. Allah, that each and everything will reply. Whether they are easy.